hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen. But it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Well, double talk is all you get. And you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers. AM/FM shortwave.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report. And this hour, I'm going to be getting into a little bit of economy. You've got to know that things are not well in this country. And as I reported on Tuesday, the financial industry, just the financial industry itself, announced that 87,962 jobs were cut so far this year, and we're not even out of August. But compile that with last year of 50,327 people being let go. And this is mostly related to the troubles in the mortgage market, including the subprime mortgages. Well, people are paying attention to this globally, and they cannot believe what we have done to our own economy with this credit, as they like to call it. Well, just recently, and I do believe this was this morning, the U.S. Federal Reserve injected another $17.25 billion into the financial system in three actions. I'm sorry, this was today. The latest in a series of moves designed to ease the credit squeeze in global markets. Now, I was watching the markets, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and I was watching the indicators today, and it was still in the red, still in the negative. And after all their infusion of billions of dollars into the market, I've not checked it at the end of business day today. I'll take a look at it during the next break. But suffice it to say, with all this money being injected in there, it's not even coming close to calming people's fears. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York, which handles the overnight repurchase agreements for the Fed, announced the actions on its website. The first injection of $7 billion at 8:30 a.m., was followed by another of the same amount at 9:40 a.m., and a third of the $3.25 billion at 9:55 a.m. this morning. The latest injections brought the total of $120.5 billion added to the money markets in repurchase agreements in the last 2 weeks alone. Now, according to Bob Chapman, $120 billion, it's closer to $500 billion. Upwards to $500 billion, almost $500 billion. Now, the central banks began a series of major cash infusions on August 9th to ease the tightening credit due to the crisis in the U.S. high-risk subprime mortgage sector. The U.S. Central Bank on Friday unexpectedly slashed its discount rate to commercial banks to 5.75% from 6.25% to ease lending between the banks. You see, when they have to shift money back and forth, they'll adjust the rates to make it easier on each other. And if that's not good enough, countercurrents.org came out with an article that pretty much encompasses what this inefficiency is and the root problems in the economy right now. And it's many fold, folks. It's just the pressure that's being put on this funny money system that we've been using for almost 100 years in this country. We'll take the break here, come back on the other side, stick with us. We'll get into all that right after a little bit of this.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7, but I never have to go to work.
So what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Richard C. Cook, to be more specific, of Global Research, penned this article. He said the immediate triggers are being described quite well. The collapse of the U.S. subprime mortgage market, the vulnerability of the rest of the economy to the subprime undertow due to the efficiency of the markets in spreading risk, the worldwide overextension of cheap credit, the failure of large institutional investors and Wall Street brokerages to behave responsibly, and the long-term effects of the U.S. trade and fiscal deficits, which are now coming home to roost. Now, amazingly, some commentators have been asking if the money crisis will affect the producing economy, and whether a recession lies ahead. In reality, the U.S. producing economy has been in recession for at least the last year. This is shown most clearly by the decline of the M1, the portion of the money supply immediately available to people for making purchases. And that's usually on durable goods. That's how they gauge that. Now, the causes of the M1 decline are twofold. One is the weak purchasing power of the American consumers. They are weak and have been weakened. At least half of those decently paying manufacturing jobs have been eliminated by the outsourcing, mergers, and productivity improvements during the past two decades. Bob Chapman and myself, we put that at about 70 to 75% that's been outsourced, not 50%. But I won't quibble. The other is that while many of the U.S. corporations not connected to housing have been doing all right, Their success has been tied to overseas investments and sales, such as GE and General Motors, who are heavily invested in China. Now, this type of business activity props up the stock prices of these global corporations, but does little for the working American. The presumption is that overflow earnings from stockholders will benefit the rest of our domestic economy is the essence of the trickle-down supply-side economics, and is part of the justification for the system that makes the rich richer and the poor poorer. What we're talking about here, folks, is the elimination of the middle class. That means you and I, and about 95% of this country. But as Barron's reported earlier this year, much of the profits from the global corporations are being held as retained earnings for future growth, rather than being passed on to stockholders as dividends. Now, because of all the heavy debt load corporations carry today, they're all in a grow-or-die mode. Again, the result is deficient purchasing power, which works to negate the already dubious trickle-down effect. The recession has been masked by four factors. The government's phony gross domestic product numbers, where the churning of financial transactions masquerade as production. Remember, we did the story that even George Bush was counting McDonald's hamburgers as production. That's right, and we're not joking about that. Second, the froth of the stock market that took the Dow Jones Industrial Average from a little over 11,000 to a record-breaking 14,000 during a one-year period that ended with a decline that began in mid-July. The propensity of the American consumer, which is now ending, to continue to buy goods and services on credit, including necessities of life like health care, etc., etc. And the third point, modest growth in low-paying service economy jobs, which also may be coming to an end. Now, as I said the other day, every dark cloud has a silver lining, and where that's going to benefit us is it may chase some of the illegals home because they're not going to be able to take service sector jobs, which they've been putting high school students and the retired out on the street, so to speak. Remember, you could go into McDonald's, and folks, this is a story worth retelling because I noticed this a couple of years ago going into McDonald's down here in Texas, and what you saw behind the counter were high school kids in there for part-time jobs, but also retirees that can't make it. Their Medicare and their Medicaid or their Social Security benefits just ain't making it, and they have no money. And to watch somebody over the age of 65 trying to keep up with a 17 or 18-year-old was truly heart-wrenching. Well, that problem was solved. No problem. McDonald's Corporation... By the way, have you noticed their latest commercials with a heavy Latino accent in it? Well, that's no accident. But what Mickey D's has been doing is taking advantage of this cheap labor market. I would almost bet you, I have no facts to back this up, but I would almost bet you that in the United States right now, half of what is working for the McDonald's Corporation right now are in fact illegals. Now, who is going to take on the grand poobah of Mickey D's? They've even quit telling us how many billions of burgers they have sold. I think Johnny Carson even once got sued over the fact that he made a comment on a monologue one time that, yes, McDonald's has made billions of hamburgers, and they've done it using 100 pounds of ground beef. McDonald's sued him over it. But it's a sad story. It's a sad commentary, but it is true. So the only benefit that I could see out of eliminating these service sector jobs, which means any other people out there, Americans, trying to compete and trying to feed themselves, well, those jobs are going to be eliminated. Now, talking about the lesser bubbles, these lesser bubbles have mirrored the big ones that are bursting as lenders lose confidence in the ability of borrowers to repay. That's right. We were supposed to have faith in their funny money and credit system, but now they're losing confidence in us. These are, of course, the housing bubbles affecting consumers, the acquisition bubble affecting equity funds, and the speculation bubble affecting hedge funds. As the house of cards comes tumbling down, the leading question on financial websites and blogs is how deep will the decline go? Will it stop at the level of the recessions of previous decades, including 2000-2002? Where a decline is reflected on the Dow Jones average of somewhere around 35% from its peak? or will it be the Armageddon scenario, which will take us to depression-level conditions? Of course, there are multiple possibilities based on a decline somewhere between a recession and a depression that would share some of the characteristics of each. Remember the old joke? You know, it's a recession when your neighbor's out of work. It's a depression when you're out of work. Muddying the waters is the fact that the Dow Jones average is much less reliable as a measure of economic health today than in the past. This is because today the vast majority of financial transactions now take place within the furtive secrecy of the equity, hedge, and derivative markets. No one really knows what's going on except that on any given day, an announcement is made that another fund or company has been wiped out. Neither the Federal Reserve nor the U.S. government believes they have an obligation to gather or publish data that will help the public gauge the effects of these crises on their homes or their jobs. Some might call this negligence a crime against democracy. Got to send this guy an email on that one. In fact, the Federal Reserve made tracking even more difficult by ceasing to report the M3 macro currency numbers. But researchers have shown that the growth in the M3 is soaring while the M1 goes down. What appears to be happening right now is that the Federal Reserve, which oversees the U.S. economy on behalf of the financial, corporate, and government elites, is deliberately trying to squeeze as much debt out of the economy as it can, in doing this with interest rates that are high relative to actual conditions, while trying to avoid the aforesaid Armageddon scenario. Now, the Fed is carrying out its soft landing policy by holding credit tight while introducing liquidity into the markets on a daily basis. And I just read you what they did today. What was it? $17.25 billion. Now, they're doing this liquidity into the markets on a day-to-day basis through the use of overnight repos and by cutting the discount rate for bank borrowing. Conservative columnists like George Will, and I'll give this author his assumption that George Will is a conservative columnist, and Bob Novak, same one, watch and shake their pom-poms for the sidelines. But liquidity is just a fancy name for more loans. The one thing we can be certain of is that every loan bears interest charges which someday, somehow, will have to be paid by a person who works for a living. Now, if you've wondered where the Fed got the $34 billion in liquidity it pumped into the markets on Friday, and this is last Friday, not anything to do with the figures that I just gave you for today, folks. Friday, August 10th, you weren't the only one. The answer is that the Fed has a secret room upstairs where it keeps a large printing press. It's legalized counterfeiting, but as the any counterfeit money, if people accept it in trade, it acts just like the real stuff. Well, at least for a while. The danger, which many commentators are pointing to, is that the Fed will ignite a hyperinflation, which may be what is happening and may actually be intentional because it devalues debt. It's what happens when debt is used to pay off debt and is in fact an invisible tax. Such inflation is difficult to discern, again because of government's rigged statistics. The most important indicator to watch is the price of oil, which doesn't show up in the core inflation figures. But there are signs that the soft landing is working, such as modest increase in U.S. exports, reflecting the weak dollar. China is now charging more for its own exports, which will stimulate our industry here at home. And the Fed's discount rate cut last Friday sparked a modest stock market rally. By the way, I don't know if the soft landing is working. There may be a modest increase in U.S. exports. And China charging more for its own exports, stimulating our industry here at home, if it does, it's going to be minuscule. I don't even know if it's going to show up on the radar, folks, because as I just said, that we've lost, he says, that we've lost 50% of our manufacturing jobs. No, it could be as high as 75% of those manufacturing jobs that we used to have here. Remember, we all worked one at one time. We were able to eat and pay some bills and live a little bit of life. But those are gone now. And we're here staring at unfair competition, and in many cases, is of illegal status. But don't worry, It's good for the economy because it fattens their bottom line, while you get a lot slimmer around the waistline because you ain't eating.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7. But I never have to go to work.
So, what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
Debate over whether quasi-public agencies like Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, by the way, these two companies don't handle mortgages over $400,000. This is just the little man's market out there, should be used to spread the housing market losses across the entire taxpaying population. While society as a whole is made poorer, many individuals who might have lost their homes or jobs are spared some pain. So it's hard to argue against it, but this type of bailout would benefit individual homeowners more than big banks, so the conservative politicians and commentators oppose it. But there's a larger picture. The strategy of the Fed is likely to allow the recession to proceed, but it does not want to get the economy moving again before the downturn goes too far. In fact, they probably plan to do it in time for the 2008 presidential election. Now, the feds want to see a recovery in place by then, so the American public will go back to sleep and either elect another politician who will steadfastly protect the privileges and the power of the magnates who, through the Fed, rule the world. Even if the new president has some progressive ideas, he or she won't be able to alter much if a recovery is started. The soft landing is a political power play. It's what they did in 1984 when Ronald Reagan was reelected on a campaign theme of "It's morning in America." And the Fed let up the following 20% plus rates it used to trash the producing economy from 1979 to 1983. Remember that one, folks? Yeah, that's when gold went up to almost $1,000 an ounce and silver was over 50 an ounce. Now, the Fed did the same with the housing bubble to get George W. Bush reelected in 2004. Now, the financiers' worst fear, or financier's worst fear, is that things get too bad for the American people, they might elect a reformer in 2008. So far, the corporate press has kept two such reformers, Ron Paul and Dennis Kucinich, and they couldn't be any more polar opposites than in the political circles, as you can imagine. They've kept them in the shadows. Now that Hillary Clinton is starting to sound more progressive, they'll attack her overtly since she's been too big of a player to be ignored. The Washington Post has already begun that procedure. So we'll see if the Fed's plan succeeds as well over the next couple of years as it has in the past. In the meantime, what remains firmly in place is the monetarist regime through which the financiers and the Fed have ruled America for the past 60 years. Since President Richard Nixon closed the gold window for international exchange in 1971. During this period, we've seen several interlocking phenomenon. Interest rates that on the whole have been much higher than the previous period of the New Deal and its aftermath, lasting into the 1960s. Inflation that has eroded 80% of the value of the dollar, and again, that is an error. Let me correct that. About 97%. Possibly as much as 98% of the purchasing power of the dollar. The replacement of our producing industrial economy with a service economy dominated by high finance. Almost continuous warfare with a clear objective of world domination whose purpose is to shore up the dollar as the world's reserve currency. And that goes back to the Bretton Woods Agreement. You know, we bombed half the world, and we wanted to make it easier for the banks to do business, so we put everybody on the Fed currency. The ever-deepening public, private, and household debt, the ever-widening gap between the rich and the poor, with increasing numbers of the poor, homeless, and hungry, who are left out of the nation's economic life, and by the way, folks, they even fall off the statistic pages, because we only count the people that are filing for unemployment benefits, and once their benefits expire, well, they're dropped from the jobless rolls entirely. You know, that's why they'll tell you that, oh, you know, don't anybody worry. You know, the economy is strong. We've got under 5% in unemployment here in this country. Yeah. And by the way, if they did, and the Fed has already stated this, they can never have full employment in this country. You want to know why? It puts too much of the funny money into circulation, and that creates problems for them. So the Fed's idea of 5% unemployment rate in this country has always been acceptable. As a matter of fact, it's been desirable. As I said, the ever-widening gap between rich and poor, with increasing numbers of the poor, homeless, and hungry, a crisis in the nation's crumbling infrastructure, and the constant whipsawing of over 200 million ordinary people. Which, by the way, here, we have a solution for the crumbling infrastructure. A lady called me this afternoon from South America. Thank you. Appreciate it very much. And said, did you know that bridge is being built by the Fed, the one that collapsed in Milwaukee? And I said, yeah. And I said, why is George Bush so concerned about this? Is because it's part of the NAFTA highway. But here's another thing to consider. Daddy Bush's, that's right, George W.'s daddy, both globalists. Too bad he doesn't have the brain power of his father. He might be a more convincing thief than he is right now. But all that aside, when we look at the crumbling infrastructure in this country, and you saw that many states took steps to inspect their bridges. Yeah, like they didn't know they were falling apart in the first place. But Daddy Bush, back in 92, signed that little executive order basically allowing the sell-off of our infrastructure, bridges, roads, water treatment facilities, anything that the public heretofore has paid for, it's up for sale to foreign investment. You're going to see a lot more of that being talked about in the next year, as everybody claims they're just out of bucks because their tax base has gone bye-bye. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com. Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073, or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
It's our citizens who are batted around like ping pong balls between alternating conditions of boom and bust as every few years, many of them watch the overnight disappearance of their homes, their pensions, savings, health insurance, and jobs. Adding to this is the stress that has eroded the health and even the life expectancy of the U.S. population. It's a horrible picture created by a filthy system. It's why religious leaders for thousands of years have characterized usury and a culture ruled by usury as a crime against God and humanity. The monetarist rule of the Federal Reserve is legal, institutionalized usury. Over the years, they have mastered all the tools of the trade, the objective of which is to continually allow the financial superstructure to skim the cream off the producing economy. Come to think of it, isn't that how the mafia used to work with its protection and loan sharking rackets? And can anything be done about it? Well, of course. If we create problems, see, these are all man-made problems, ladies and gentlemen. If man creates a problem, man can fix the problem that he created. In previous articles on Global Research website and elsewhere, the writer has offered a list of reforms, mostly monetary, that can and should be made. They all involve the recognition of credit as a public utility, part of a societal commons, if you will, not the private playground of the financiers and the Fed as their facilitator. Low-cost credit overseen by federal government was the basic building block of the New Deal. It was done by strong people with an ideal of public service, though in many respects they didn't go far enough and relied too much on World War II and armaments to attain a full employment economy. This is where he goes a little bit south here, but we'll bear it out. We need a new deal for the 21st century that would correct the flaws of the last one, resolve the present crisis, and carry us into the future that will benefit everyone, not just a privileged few. By the way, Cook, he's a retired federal analyst whose career included service at the U.S. Civil Service Commission, Food and Drug Administration, the Carter White House, and NASA, followed by 21 years with the U.S. Treasury Department. And it makes sense. He's got most of it right, except he missed one thing. That the only sound economy is one that's based with a commodity that's worth something. And for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years, folks, that has been gold or silver. And people have asked me in the past, well, you know, I've talked about the boom and bust cycles. You know, this is what happens when there's too much money in circulation and they got to rein the credit back in, which, you know, people lose jobs and they lose homes and this, that, and the other. Whereas this elastic money supply, as they fondly call it, is just a tool to extract real wealth by putting up something that you're claiming is of real value. Now, if we were on a gold and silver-backed currency, the United States would not look as it does today. You wouldn't have super shopping malls popping up all over the place. You wouldn't have what the green meanies out there call the urban sprawl. Because on the program the other day, I expressed how what was deemed the white flight from the major cities happened after World War II. We had an era in which people thought, well, geez, people want to own the American dream, so let's build it for them. And they did. It was called tract housing developments. Now, that unto itself is not too bad, but the problem is when you go in and clear out land, all you're doing is knocking down trees and blades of grass and leveling things out. There was no infrastructure there, so you're creating a whole new one. But the infrastructure doesn't include the mom-and-pop stores or the mom-and-pop hardware stores or what we used to see when we were kids, if you're old enough. So we have to build these super malls in which all these people that live in these tract houses and all the little housing developments all over the United States have a place to go, to shop. And then you saw the onset of the super box stores like Kmart and Walmart, which I affectionately call Wally World. Yes, it's a necessary evil, isn't it? Or is it? If you want to know why the major cities have all the major ghettos, that is one of the reasons why. And the people that had the ability to move out of the cities and buy homes in these tract housing developments did so. The people that couldn't afford it had to stick around. The people that stuck around didn't have that much money. Not much purchasing power, and, well, obviously, if you don't have too much gazinda, there ain't too much gazauda. So they had to live in low-rent housing and apartments, which are just ramshackle to begin with. So When you start to chart the course of the American economy and how it looks today, if we were on a gold and silver standard and a slow, sustained growth process where more thought went into stuff, you know, I was just watching a special today. It's on in Boston, Massachusetts. they had roads, and they literally cut the city in half. They cut it in half, and they put an elevated expressway in. Well, now they're involved in a multi-billion and ongoing construction project to actually bury the road. And the subway system is going to be on top of it, and the road construction is actually going to support the subway system and then the streets above, costing billions and billions of dollars. But they built this thing on the assumption that, well, about 75,000 cars a day are going to travel over these roads, when in fact almost triple the number of cars are traveling over the very same roads. What is happening is we're expanding stuff so fast, we don't even take time to think about the future. We just know we have a problem right now, and we've got to fix it. Well, where did all this explosive growth come from? I'll tell you exactly where it came from. It came from the elastic money supply. The debt monetary system that they gave us, that's a private entity, it has nothing to do with the federal government at all, very little, but it's a private lending concern that is that we've lent ourselves into oblivion. So we've got some severe problems here. And the question has always been asked of me, well, if we're going to go back to a gold and silver standard, what exactly do we do with the existing debt? Well, I thought about that for a while. And I thought, well, if we were, what was foisted on us was, in fact, a fiat money system. And they're claiming that we owe interest, not only the principal on the money that we borrowed, but also the interest for using their wonderful product. Well, then why can't we create a competing money supply and retire their debt with our newfangled fiat money system of our own? Sounds reasonable and logical to me. But that's only an interim step to go back to a gold and silver stable dollar. In other words, a 2007 dollar 30 years from now would be worth what? Oh, that's right. It would be worth a dollar. Your boom and your bust cycles would disappear. The economy would be stable. The job market would be stable. The tax base would be stable. The only thing that's unstable are the critters that help us get into this situation. And, of course, it takes two to tango here. The public, of course, ate up the credit market out there. They could live with what the commercials they were seeing on television. I can even remember, God, I'm dating myself here, the Dinah Shore show. And how she used to close her show is, see the USA in a Chevrolet. Well, we wanted those brand new cars. We wanted the brand new houses. We wanted the brand new clothes and the brand new this and the brand new that. People were selling us an illusion and a dream. Well, they delivered on it. How do you get there? How do you keep up with the Joneses, as they say? Well, just get it on credit. And it's been argued to me before in the past that, you know, credit's not such a bad thing as long as you don't abuse it. Well, think about that one again. Let's go to the phones. Henry in Connecticut. Thanks for holding on, Henry.
Yes, it's very interesting what you're saying. It was excellent what you said. I'm going to elaborate this, something very important, because you were talking about the job market and the statistics with unemployment. That's very true. You know, I heard listening to William Cooper one time, I spoke to him off air. He said that...
Bill actually spoke to you?
Oh, yes, sure. I have spoke to him on the phone. Matter of fact, I talked to him all day, off and on 9/11.
Well,
I'm not lying. I called him after it happened. I was home. I had a shortwave radio then. I was listening to him all day on September 11th. I called him again when I told him I heard the planes over my house, and I saw the Ford white Broncos that look real brand new and clean, and they have these black windows on them, and they were at the corner of my, on the street, they were at the corner intersection. You ever seen that? Those white, SUVs, they have black windows, and they look really brand new.
No, I was just thinking about this today. Even the Round Rock cops stay away from me.
Oh.
I don't have that problem.
Oh, well, Well, it was funny. I won't elaborate all that because that's not why I called. But I called him when the planes were flying over, the jet aircraft. I spoke to him then. I spoke to him about twice that day. And I also spoke to him shortly before he, you know, had that incident. Mm-hmm. So we have spoke. Anyway, cut all that. What he said to the point, what he said was this. He said that when, just like you said, when they lose the unemployment, they don't count other unemployment situations with people. They don't count people on social service,
etc. Yeah, they just drop them off the rolls and that's it.
Right, right. They don't count people on social service. He said they don't count people on welfare. They don't count people who need food stamps. They don't count a whole lot of other things. Now, getting to that, what it's related to that is this. You were talking about the teenagers, you know, living put on the street at the expense of these illegal bean people that are here. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what, you know, some people call them. I found this, though. What I was going to say is this. Do you remember when, back with George H. Bush, when I think in 91 and 92, all the downsizing with the jobs in the country occurred, where stuff was moved to Mexico, moved
right.
to China back then.
NAFTA,
and it was
yes.
like, yeah, and it was like thousands or millions of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Then they were saying, oh, the welfare rolls are going up, blah, blah, blah. Well, then they couldn't find anything. Then Clinton comes in, and he talks about, oh, now we need welfare reform and so-and-so. Now, here's what I found out. After all that stuff that they're doing, and then Clinton finally did the stuff with the welfare reform, and that was a sham and everything else, it turns out that what they're really planning to do is they were going to, Clinton and them were both working together, they were going to cut, let's say, any type of social programs for the American people if they really need it. And at the same time, heard during all this welfare reform and Giuliani, there were people coming in here illegally that were getting $1,000 or more checks from the IRS given to Mexicans. There were Mexicans coming in here illegally that were getting Social Security and never worked in the country or anything. So they were cutting our social social programs for Americans, let's say, that needed it for their own people, and at the same time talking about them and that and their own welfare and whatever, but they were cutting it for their own people, but at the same time they wanted to save the money, but at the same time giving it to, so we can help this stuff with the Mexicans and the illegal aliens. And I remember one time Cooper had a mason in London, well, a guy who was a friend of Cooper, they both were on the phone, on the air, and he was at some Masonic meeting in London, this agent of Cooper, and they were on the phone, both of them, Cooper in a radio station here and the guy in London, so I don't know and understand what I'm talking about. And he had some of the Masons, they were interviewing him, and they said so. So this was a lot of stuff was planned, and when they talk all the stuff, even with the welfare stuff, it's like on one end with the American people, it's wrong for them to have it, but at the same time, it was hypocrisy because Clinton and Hillary and them, they were doing a lot of things to help all these illegal workers. And it's proven. It's had different special programs and everything. Even business stuff. Like, you want to set up a business? They were doing that then. Hello?
Yes, we're still here.
Okay. All right, no, that's it. That's all. That's all I want to say. I was just saying, if you respond to that, but I found that that was true, that he was doing that.
Yeah.
Under Clinton's administration.
It's been a well-laid plan for many, many years, and what they're really upset about is okay, well, I'll tell you what. Thanks for your call. We're coming up
sure,
on a break,
sure, okay.
Andy.
Sure, take care.
Thank you.
Well.
Appreciate your call. By the way, before I go to break here, and on the other side I'll take another call here, guess where the NAFTA highway, somebody better call up Alex Jones. Because they're planning on wrecking the church that he helped build for the Branch Davidians up there. Seriously, it's on ABC News here. They're going to build the NAFTA highway, and they're going to do it right through Waco and on the remains of Mount Carmel. Also, what's in the way is in the story here. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Charles Pace is out there with his wife and three children. And it says in this article that Pace preaches at Mount Carmel in a handsome, recently built chapel. He treats his patients with various New Age therapies in a double-wide trailer dubbed the Wellness Center. There's a memorial with a stone marker for each one who died on the property in 1993, as well as a small one-room building slated to be the Visitor's Museum. Well, folks, of all the places here in Texas, where do they decide to put the NAFTA slab, the super slab? Right over Waco, Texas. Isn't that amazing? Tell you what, let's go to Don in Ohio. And, Don, if I need to, I'll carry you through the break. Don, are you there?
This is Clarence in Oklahoma.
I don't know, Clarence in Oklahoma, how you got there. Maybe
I heard a click, and I figured I was on the air.
Clarence, my apologies. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, it's interesting you just started mentioning that, because I'm here in Oklahoma City. And when you start talking, what I was going to talk about went right out the window, and it brought something else to mind here. I'm holding here in my hot little hand some correspondence with me, between myself and one of my illustrious senators, Senator James Inhofe, about, and I was complaining about the NAFTA superhighway and the North American Union and such as that. Now, this is the man who's supposed to be Mr. Conservative up there in the Senate. Let me just kind of read you this first paragraph. It's very short. Thank you for your recent correspondence regarding the proposed North American Union. You are one of many constituents who have recently expressed concern about the creation of a union between Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. Please know that no such union currently exists, and I would adamantly oppose any agreement that would attempt to create such a union.
Clarence, hold on a second. We'll be right back after the break. And Steve called back in, did he? Okay. We'll see if we can squeeze Steve in for a minute. Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Morning, neighbor.
Hey, shouldn't you be at work?
I am. As a matter of fact, I pulled another all-nighter.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, at least I'm making money 24/7. But I never have to go to work.
So, what do you do?
Not very much at all now. About a month ago, I heard about this website. It's got a funny name. It's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
That is funny.
Yeah, you can earn $1,200 to $12,000 a week starting the very first week.
Oh, is that how you bought that new mower?
Yeah, and the motorcycle I've always wanted, too. You should log on. Find out how you can become financially free.
So what was that website?
It's www.DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Just wait, I'll go get a pen so I can write that down.
You don't need to write it down. It's easy to remember. DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Yeah, DidYouRobBillGates.com. That is easy.
It's easy, and the money is awesome.
If I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that Mr. Inhofe is in a state of denial, that there is no agreements, but he would be opposed to them if there were.
Absolutely, and I know you got another caller, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I've got two more paragraphs about that same length. I'll read them to you, and I just want to get this out. And, you know, we don't have to, but I'll read you the last, the operative ones. Soon after the March 2005 meeting of the SPP, the Council on Foreign Relations, CFR, published a report titled Building a North American Community, which has been labeled as a blueprint for a North American Union. Its central recommendation is the establishment of a North American economic and security community by 2010. The CFR is an independent think tank and has no affiliation with the U.S. government. The proposals in this report are the CFR's own recommendations and do not reflect the thinking of Congress or myself. Last paragraph. Another factor contributing to the idea of a North American Union is the proposed North American Superhighway, or NAFTA Superhighway. As with the Amero, in quotes, and the North American Union itself, there is currently no legislative activity focused on building a North American superhighway. The Trans-Texas Corridor, which is currently in the planning stages, is a Texas state initiative that is being designed to solve the future challenges of Texas' transportation system.
I believe every word he said. My goodness, I need to go get a real job. Because I must have been delusional, Clarence.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've lived in this state all my life except for 3 years in Uncle Sam's Airplane Club. And I have known Mr. Inhofe for, well, I haven't known him, but I've known him. Well, he's one of my senators. And but to read this was, and after what I've heard through you and other truth tellers, it's scary.
It is
from your representative,
because what they're doing is they're putting out the plausible deniability that Congress has not done any legislative thing. So therefore, this exists. At least Mr. Inhofe is saying, but this is just a state initiative.
Right.
So I guess the Trans-Texas Corridor is going to end at the Oklahoma-Texas border.
What he supposedly. That is the implication of this reply.
All right, Clarence. Hey, thank you so much for your call.
All right, you bet.
All right, Steve in Ohio. Hello, Steve.
Yes, John.
Yes.
I wanted to talk to you about something real quick. I wanted to tell you what the real reality is for most Americans out here. Now, me and my wife, our house payment doubled, okay? So we want to do what's right, and we pay our bills. So we paid our house payment after it doubled last Friday. And
were you on an adjustable rate mortgage?
Yeah. They did was they put us on that. And when we signed the papers, they said, you know, I was ready to walk out on the signing when we was ready to buy the house, because I said, oh, no, I could never afford my interest rate to double. Mm-hmm. They said, oh, well, you know, that never happens. You know, this may bump up a half a percent or something, you know, if any, you know, so I wouldn't worry too much about that. And they got me talked into, well, okay, go ahead and do it. In my head, I started thinking, well, that wouldn't be real bad. I think we could do that. So when the 2 years came up, it jumped. It doubled. You know, it went right up to the max. And then that doubled our house payment. So me and my wife, you know, being model citizens, you know, and good bill payers, we pay our bills. So we go Monday until today without no food whatsoever. Now, I see a lot of my friends doing the same thing. I mean, it's hard to watch TV because you don't want to see food ads on the TV. You know, you got to turn your head. It's hard. And I don't want no sympathy. I'm just, you know, trying to tell you what it's really like.
Steve.
And then I get onto the CNN website tonight, and in their business section, Fortune Magazine has an article on there. And the senior editor of Fortune Magazine has a big article on there how lazy American workers are and how we have to work harder and we have to work more hours. And I'll tell you, I'm getting about fed up with it. You know, these big guys are pushing us little guys around, and what they're doing is they're backing us in a corner with no way to escape.
I understand.
And when you don't have no way to escape, you're going to come out fighting for your life.
Steve, I am sorry to hear about your present circumstance. Maybe there are some things that can be solved in the future. Hey, thanks for your call. Folks, we'll see you tomorrow. With